Job, chapter 13, 1 through 13. Look, my eye has seen all of this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferring it to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with God. As for you, you whitewash with lies. All of you are worthless physicians. If you would only keep silent, that would be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning and listen to the pleadings of my lips. Will you speak falsely for God and deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality toward him? Will you plead the case for God? Will it be well with you when he searches you out? Or can you deceive him as one person deceives another? He will surely rebuke you if in secret you show partiality. Will not his majesty terrify you and the dread of him fall upon you? Your maxims are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Let me have silence, and I will speak, and let come on me what may.
The story of Job is one that is
powerful and confusing. Job offers us this vision of God that is compelling. And yet it is a vision of God that is so often at odds with the God that we understand. Job gives us a vision of a God who toys with a man's life as if it were nothing. Job gives us a vision of the Satan who seems chummy with God and who does God's bidding. So I thought, in order to talk a little bit about the lessons of lament that we get from the book of Job, it would be helpful to have a little overview of the entire book. And I'm going to try to give you an entire overview of the book of Job in about 2 minutes, if anybody wants to time me. Job is structured like a folktale. A folktale that is trying to answer two essential questions. It is trying to answer the question whether or not God is just, and it is trying to answer the question of whether or not God controls the universe according to justice. What the book never tries to answer, but we keep trying to fit in there, is Job never tries to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? We really want the book to answer that question, but instead, it leaves us still wondering at the end as to the why. To understand Job means to not understand the story literally. It is presenting us a God who is like a king overseeing a great court. And petitioners come to God. Petitioners that are called sons of God, or perhaps angelic beings, coming to God with these petitions. And one of them is known as the accuser. In Hebrew, it is Hasatan. The accuser comes to God and challenges the righteousness of Job. God has called Job the most righteous. So the accuser comes and says, I challenge you, God. take everything away from Job and he will no longer be righteous. He is only righteous because you have made his life so good. This leads God to allowing the accuser to curse Job's life, to see if Job will still be righteous if he lives a cursed life rather than a blessed one. So everything that Job valued is taken from him, and Job responds. And the response is formulated as three friends of Job come to him and question him. And they try to get to the root of why Job's life has suddenly taken a turn for the worse. And after this back and forth between Job and his friends, we have a back and forth between Job and God. And in that back and forth between Job and God, we begin to see the true nature of the divine. In our reading today, Job is responding to the accusations of his friends, and he uses a phrase that I love. Job says, "I want to argue my case before God." And if you want a good definition for lament, I think that's it. That a lament is a desire to argue one's case before God. When Job's life was falling apart, it would have been easy for Job to reject God, to say he wants no part of God if God is not going to bless him with everything he wants. It would have been easy for Job to blame himself, to look at the state of his life and to think that he is the problem. But instead, Job takes the harder task of going to God in prayer, of having that heart-to-heart with God, of bringing his case to the divine. I know it's nice for us to have answers, so I'm going to let you in on the answers that we get at the end of Job. Because the end of Job answers those two questions as to whether or not God is just and to whether or not the world is run according to God's justice. And the answer is perhaps satisfying, perhaps not. But yes, God is just, we learn by the end of Job. But we also learn that justice for God is a whole lot more complicated than we imagine. It is more complicated than the good prosper and the wicked are accursed. God shows Job that he and his friends were always thinking of things in terms of absolutes, that the world was black and white, good or evil, and that God instead sees so many more shades of gray. God also reveals that the universe that God created is not set up in such a way as to minimize or avoid suffering. God doesn't really get into the why of that, simply to state that the universe is designed according to a principle of God's beauty rather than according to the avoidance of suffering. And God does this by referring to two creatures that were created, Behemoth and Leviathan, two ancient creatures that God describes as definitely not safe, but absolutely beautiful. And that is how God sees creation, not as a place of safety, but as a place of beauty. Again, we have to remember Job is not telling a literal story. It is a folk story in order to get us thinking about the nature of God's justice and our response to God's acts in our lives. So in that short passage that Ruth shared with us, that is a very short part of this book where Job is responding to his friends. Specifically, he is responding to a friend named Zophar. Zophar comes to Job and tells Job that if he is suffering, it must be his own fault. Job is righteous, sinless before God, but Zophar comes to him and says, if something has gone wrong in your life, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned against God, even if you didn't know it. And then Zophar goes one step further. Zophar suggests that Job should probably suffer a little bit more. That if he has sinned against God, then his suffering is not enough. That he should suffer completely. Again, remember, Job and his friends think in terms of absolutes. There is either good or bad, righteous or sinful, rather than the shades of gray in which God thinks. But I think Zophar touches on something that is in the core of human belief. Maybe not everyone thinks this way, but I think a lot of people do. Zophar touches on the idea that we deserve the hardship that we go through. How many people in our world today think they deserve the hardship that they go through? Or have given up speaking to God because of the struggles that they go through in life? Zophar suggests to Job that he has no reason to complain to God. And Job comes back with what we might say is a willingness to trust in God to be God. Job suggests to us that when we don't bring our raw honesty before God, we are not protecting God, and we are not protecting ourselves. Instead, those times when we refuse to be fully honest with God, those are the times when we are limiting God. That we are putting God in such a small box that says, God can only handle me when I'm at my best. Job reveals to us how foolish this line of thinking is. Job reveals to us that we can let God be God and trust in the loving nature of God. I heard a definition of the Sabbath once that kind of stuck with me. That the Sabbath was one day a week when we let God be God. That we spend 6 days of the week carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that the Sabbath gives us one day every week to remember to put God in charge, to let God be God. And that when we learn to let God be God, we begin to realize that God is a lot better at God's stuff than we are. Job's friends had such a limited understanding of who God was. They understood God as the one who punished the wicked and rewarded the righteous. And that is about as far as they understood God. That God did not listen, God did not care, God did not love. God is a God solely of divine justice. But throughout the course of the book of Job, Job discovers that God is so much more than that, so much bigger than that. And Job only realizes the true nature of God's love when he is willing to be raw and honest about the struggles he is going through with God. I think there's a lesson here, a lesson that we can take away from the way that Job and Job's friends respond to the struggles in Job's life. I think the lesson we might take away is that oftentimes our first instinct when we see someone that we care about going through hardship is to first start thinking, how do we alleviate that hardship? How do we end the struggle in somebody else's life? That is so often our first instinct, to eliminate the suffering that this world dishes out. But part of the story of Job is learning that sometimes we can't explain suffering, and sometimes we can't end it. That there is some suffering in this world that we simply need to live through. That we can't always fix everything that we go through. Sometimes the only thing that we can do, and sometimes this is the best thing that we can do, is to simply say that we are going to be present with one another in times of struggle and hardship. That we might not be able to fix it, we might not be able to solve all the problems, but we can be present with love with those who go through hardship. I'm reminded of all the times I have sat in a hospital room with somebody who has just received that diagnosis. Somebody that has just come through surgery. Somebody is still sitting there with questions unanswered. And so many times I sit there, I think that we should have solutions. We should have an ability to do more. But that sometimes the best thing we can do is simply show up and be there with one another through the hard times. That sometimes we don't need to have the answers, but we always need to have the compassion. You see, Job's friends, people like Zophar, they came with the answers. They thought they knew the nature of God, so they thought they knew all the right answers. They thought they knew why Job was struggling. Maybe the reminder for us is that sometimes there's no reason why life is as hard as it is. Sometimes that's just the way things are. And that maybe we are being reminded that instead of coming up with answers like Job's friends do, our job as a people of faith is to simply show up with care, with compassion, and with that permission to lament in honesty. And that our job is to trust in God with our lament. To trust that God is not only big enough to handle it, but God is loving enough to listen. To listen to the cry of our hearts. That maybe the point isn't fixing the problems. Maybe the point is simply knowing there is a God who listens. Let's be in prayer together. Holy and faithful one, we come to you with our laments, with the honesty of our lives, the hurts and the pains and all the broken places. And maybe our prayer today is not to be fixed, but simply to know that you are listening. That you are listening to the cry of our hearts. Lord, help us to listen to one another. Help us to listen with compassion and care and holy love. In Christ I pray.